This is National Native News. I'm Megan Kamrick in for Antonia Gonzalez. There was another incident over the weekend in the dispute over lobster fishing on Canada's east coast between Indigenous and non-Indigenous fishermen. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, a southwest Nova Scotia lobster plant was destroyed by fire, and one man is in the hospital with critical injuries.
The dispute so far has seen property destroyed, confrontations, injuries, and calls for more police protection, even military intervention. The latest incident came over the weekend as a lobster pound was leveled by fire. The chief of the Sepikadakity First Nation, Mike Sack, says the pound was owned by a friend and ally to the Mi'kmaq.
Community members are working with the people that own those pounds, and the industry doesn't like that, so they're forcing anyone that's dealing with us out of the industry. It's the last thing we want is for anyone to be hurt, for everyone to be safe. We're not here to fight.
Sack says if there had been more police on duty near the site, the fire likely would not have taken place. This dispute has been escalating over the past couple of weeks after native lobster fishermen took to the waters out of season, claiming it is their treaty right to fish wherever and whenever they want, a right that was upheld by the Supreme Court of Canada 20 years ago, so they can earn a modest living. Meanwhile, a spokesperson for commercial fishermen who are angry over the Mi'kmaq fishing out of season are also appealing for calm. She says if the federal government was doing its job, this would not be happening. Nova Scotia's Premier Stephen McNeil is calling on Ottawa to define how much lobster the Mi'kmaq can harvest to determine what is a moderate livelihood. He says that has to happen before the province can look at its own regulations. He says his government is working with Ottawa to try to bring all sides together for a respectful dialogue. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
Donald Trump Jr. was in Arizona late last week to launch the Native Americans for Trump Coalition. The Arizona Daily Sun reports Trump Jr. joined Navajo Nation Vice President Myron Leiser and several local candidates at a rally in Williams. There were about 400 people from northern Arizona and several tribal nations at the event. President Trump will hold a rally in Prescott on Monday. Trump Jr. argued the Trump administration has been a better ally to tribes than Democrats and used coronavirus aid as an example. The Navajo Nation, which was hit hard by the pandemic, did get more than $700 million through the CARES Act, but had to sue the administration before it and other tribes received funds. Leiser said at the rally that he believes if Trump is reelected, he will help the Navajo Nation improve its economy and health care. A new 50-megawatt solar field broke ground recently on the Jicarilla Apache Nation in northern New Mexico. It's the third largest solar project on tribal lands in the United States and will produce power for Albuquerque and other large users. Jicarilla Apache Nation President Edward Velarde said the project is part of an ongoing effort by the Jicarilla to control its own energy. Smart Cities Dive reports the tribe created its own power authority in 2014. The solar field will provide 2 megawatts of renewable energy back to the community. The project is a partnership with utility PNM. In Canada, officials have approved a statue of an Indigenous leader for the grounds of the Manitoba Legislature. It will be the first statue of a First Nations person at the site. The CBC reports a group of volunteers has been working for nearly 4 years to have a statue of Chief Peguis placed at the legislature. Peguis was a Soto chief and defender of First Nations rights. Bill Shedd, a member of the Peguis First Nation and co-chair of the committee organizing the statue, says Peguis was also a diplomat who helped bring people together and keep the peace. Shedd told the CBC the monument will fill a void.
I think that the project to get the monument is going to be the most important step in reconciliation between the Indigenous and the non-Indigenous people of the province.
Once funding and a location are finalized, organizers will put out a call for artists. For National Native News, I'm Megan Kamrick.
National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support by the Sanoski Chambers Law Firm, championing tribal sovereignty and defending Native American rights since 1976, with offices in Washington, D.C., New Mexico, California, and Alaska.
Support by AARP, fighting to protect 50-plus voters, making sure they're heard on issues like Social Security and Medicare, prescription drug prices, and ensuring that 50-plus Americans can vote safely from home or in person. More information at aarp.org.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.